Tom and I are going to talk the next 3 weeks about the weight of Christmas. And when you come to the Christmas story, there's just a whole lot of waiting on God. Anybody here, do you like to wait? Anybody, really? I don't think I've ever met anybody here. I'm writing a sermon, talking about waiting, feeling so spiritual. I was just literally yesterday, got on the freeway. I had about an hour's drive, and I was no more on the road for minutes, and everything was stopped, just dead stop. And we didn't even move. We didn't even budge for 35 minutes. And I was reminded that I don't like to wait. And I'm glad there was nobody taping my inner conversation at the moment. I mean, because, you know, when you think about it, wait, it's just how dare anyone make me wait, as though I'm all that important. So we're going to talk about the weight of Christmas. Well, you have a common text that's provided. Forgive me if I cough through some of this morning. I got something trying to chase me down, and I'm running, but it seems like it's catching up. So Matthew chapter 1, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Other translations will say that he is a righteous man. And I want you to hold on to that. He's a just man. He's a righteous man. And he does not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God who is with us. I can make up all kinds of Bible stories, let me tell you. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, one thing is very clear. Joseph is a just or a righteous man. Now, in Hebrew, it's a tzaddik. You got to say that carefully or you'll spray people. He's a tzaddik. He's a righteous one. Joseph was this. This is what he was. And he is known for his uncompromising obedience to the law of Moses, to Torah. He doesn't eat unclean foods. He doesn't run with the wrong kinds, unclean people. He doesn't keep his carpentry shop open on the Sabbath so he can make a few extra bucks. His identity was that he is a tzaddik. And everybody knew this about him. He was what people wanted to become. Someone goes into business and they aspire to become someday the CEO. An athlete aspires to become an all-star. Well, an Israelite wanted to become a tzaddik, a righteous one. You were admired. You were held in the highest esteem. You were looked up to. You were a somebody. So Joseph is a tzaddik, but he's a righteous one who has a really big problem. The girl that he is pledged to be married to is going to have a baby. And the only thing he knows for certain, that when the question is asked, who's your daddy? The only thing he knows, it's not him. Now, Nazareth, Joseph's hometown, is a very small town. Blink and you'll miss it. And small towns are not known for their capacity to keep secrets. In fact, in small towns, there is no such thing as a secret. The recreational pastime is to play mailman, to play phone tag. Everybody knows everybody's business. Now, because we live on this side of the Christmas story, when we read it, everything looks so clean and neat and just proper. It seems like it's not all that messy, because everything turns out. And it's easy. Joseph is one of the great figures in the Bible, but Joseph can be seen as he's a guy. He's slow. He doesn't quite get it. He's spiritually not quick to the trigger. We would elevate Mary, but we would see Joseph as really inconsequential to the whole Christmas story. In fact, I was thinking that over my lifetime, I don't know if I've really ever even heard an entire sermon on Joseph. But if you would conclude that about him, you would miss so much. You would miss what God is wanting to teach and redefine what true righteousness is. What is a real righteous person like? So I'm going to ask you today, everybody, to just wear Joseph's shoes and just walk a mile with the boy with me for a few moments, okay? So your fiance is pregnant. We all know the story. But you got to realize personally for him that his reputation and his identity as a tzaddik revolves around one thing: his unswerving commitment to Torah. He's a chop-chop, do-the-right-thing kind of guy. Whatever the law of Moses says, he does. And everybody knows this about Joseph. But he's got a major problem, because Torah is very clear about what you do with somebody who is in Mary's condition. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 22. A man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her. You take them both to the center of the city, the gate of the town, and you stone them to death. You execute her. Torah was absolutely crystal clear, and Joseph's reputation as a tzaddik is on the line. Now, all of his fellow tzaddikim would have told him, look, Joseph, don't try to sell us you're caught in between a rock and a hard place. Because the evidence is absolutely clear about what Mary has done. So the only thing left for you to do is to expose this terrible sin and do so in a public way. But Joseph can't bring himself to do this. In an old system, the way that people thought about righteousness, true righteousness, would demand that she be exposed. After all, she's a sinner. And sinners must be judged and excluded. You give a sinner an inch and they'll take a mile. Standards must be maintained. In an old system, righteousness always cuts itself away from, separates itself from both the sin and the sinner. And a truly righteous tzaddik would not even hesitate, but Joseph hesitates. He can't bring himself to go public even though he is a tzaddik. Now, just imagine how he agonized over this. Mary is telling him, Joseph, look, I've got some good news and I've got some great news. I'm pregnant, but all of this is a work of God by the miracle of His Holy Spirit. And I'm finally feeling something inside, but all of this was clear. The other day, I had a long, long dialogue with an angel, Joseph. And Joseph, you remember when we took health together? Remember the section we had on how children are born, the birds and the bees, and they said there was only one way that that could happen? Well, surprise, surprise, there's a first time for everything. Imagine that conversation. I'm certain he left the room repeated times. Mary, stop. Stop this insanity. Imagine how she would have protested her innocence. And imagine Joseph's struggle in all this. Most scholars tell us that Mary was no more than a young teenage girl. And most likely, Joseph's father would have been very involved in the arrangement of this marriage. So they know her, but they don't know her terribly well. Can you imagine some of those dinner table conversations with his mom and dad? His mom, Joseph's sweetheart. You're my boy. Listen, your dad did the best he could to vet her. And everything we could tell, she was an honest and a sincere girl. But we were really wrong. Joseph, an angel? Holy Spirit? Joseph, a virgin birth? Son, our son. Look, this is just way over the top. She is clearly unstable. And she is so unfit to be the wife of a tzaddik. So you go ahead and you can do it in a quiet way. Put her aside. And once we've done all that, we have a really fine doctor we'll send her to and we'll get her on some medication. But she is clearly unstable. And that argument wins the day. Joseph decides, look, I've got to divorce her, but I'll do it quietly. Because most of you know that an engagement in that culture was a legal act, and the only way out was it required a legal act of divorce. And Joseph wants to minimize her suffering and her shame. But he wants to maintain his status as a righteous one, a tzaddik. God will finally, in verse 20, send an angel, a messenger, with a message to Joseph. And here's what I think one of the most important words in this whole passage. But after he had considered this, and the word is just after. Why did God make Joseph wait till after? I have had many, many, many conversations with God over this one. Because one of the things I don't get is God does so much after. And I have suggested to him many, many times, hey, listen, why don't we try before? Why don't you do some things before? Why don't you send an angel before all of this anxiety and struggle and conflict? I mean, give the brother a break, a virgin birth, come on. So send an angel before who will explain all this, and he doesn't have to suffer through all of this anguish. Remove all this anxiety. Is it possible that anxiety removal is not God's number one goal for Joseph? Is it possible that conflict and struggle removal is not God's number one goal for Joseph, for you, or for me? See, Joseph, in all of this struggle, is being prepared by God so that the world can come to a whole new understanding of what righteousness is. God actually allows this disequilibrium in Joseph's life so he will come to a whole new era of growth. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, north, south, and you are in a grand struggle. You feel disoriented and confused and struggling. I want you to know that it's not necessarily because you have done something wrong or you are something wrong, but you're about to grow. Well, Mark, what do I do? What do I do in the midst of all of that? Oh, I wish I had some brand new answer to give you. It would be the aha moment for everyone. But it's the answer we've all heard 1,000 times over and over again. You trust in the Lord with how much of the measure of your heart? All your heart. You keep trusting and you keep waiting on God to do something that, and here it is, you can't see yet. The angel says to Joseph, Joseph, don't be afraid to wed Mary. What does he have to be afraid of? How about everything? Literally everything. I mean, you name anything, and it is full of fear for this man. There's the fear of losing his reputation. What's everybody going to think? He knows what everybody's going to think. There is no way anybody in his world is going to buy this storyline. An angel, a miracle conception by the Holy Spirit, growing in the belly of this future wife of his in this little no-name town of Nazareth will be God's greatest work. No way. No way. He knew that if he married her, no one would ever accept this story. He would never again be invited as the tzaddik, the respected and honored one of his community, into the home of anyone ever again. He would lose business. Never again would he be seen as the lover of Torah. If he commits himself to this woman and the baby that is growing inside her, he will do so at the greatest of sacrifice. His reputation and all that he has worked to become will be trashed. Joseph, don't be afraid. What a remarkable man. And he does just as the angel directed. And two very important things. First of all, Matthew tells us that he took Mary home. And what that means is just simply that he publicly and proudly, he legally made her his wife. Secondly, he named the baby, which was to announce that he is publicly adopting this child as his own son. Legally, Joseph has tied his destiny to the lives of two stained reputations. And his decision meant that his days of being known as a righteous man are over. Joseph risked everything waiting on Christmas, waiting on God, trusting in God. Mark 6:3, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. We're given the names of Joseph's brothers, Jesus' brothers, excuse me, and his sisters, Heather and Brittany, by the way. Now, stupid, I know. And I think in this, we see part of the price that Joseph will pay for the decision that he makes. Because when people said about Jesus, he's just a carpenter. That's all he is. He's the son of Mary. Oh, that carried such meaning, such insult. We talk about, oh, that was below the belt. A man in Israel was always and only referred to as the son of his father. And to refer to a man as the son of his mother alone was the harshest expression. Our equal is, you know that Jesus? He's just an SOB. That's all he is. That's all. He's the bastard child of that woman. That's literally what is going on. It may reflect that it's not just years later, but decades later in this little village that Joseph's reputation has still not recovered because of his obedience to take Mary as his wife. For Joseph, after he obeys God, oh, people will look at him again, but he will never see in their eyes the same kind of admiration and respect ever again. Jesus is going to be called the friend of sinners, and he will be raised in a family that knew firsthand what it was to be regarded in a second-class spiritual category. I think it's why Jesus had such a heart for the unrespectable people, because he was raised by a dad who sacrificed respectability for his own son. And I think, and we'll talk about this more next week when we center in on Mary, but I think Jesus had such compassion on women who were known walking scandals because he knew what it was from his mom to have a man stick by her when she was single and pregnant. And all the time his family and all of his friends just said, get out of this, wash your hands, take a walk. And I think of how Jesus, can you imagine how he would have so admired the courage of his dad? And when Joseph was long dead, Jesus would teach in the Sermon on the Mount that unless your righteousness is greater than that, than the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus had seen a better righteousness in his own dad. My father, he would have said, was such a man. Maybe God had a reason for this odd, painful, and lonely way to start a family. And God is still calling men and women to die to reputation and status for the sake of love. What a man. What a tzaddik. What a righteous one. And when Joseph made the decision, Alex and Tommy, if you guys will come this morning, when Joseph made the decision to wed Mary, he thought that was the end of him being known as a righteous man. But what he did not know is that the child he would adopt would bring a whole new kind of righteousness.